God has given us a gift. And we just need to identify what the gifts are and begin to walk in them. And you know, as we go through some of these gifts and as we talk about them, one of the things that you'll find is, you know, something will come up, we'll talk about something, and you go, oh, that happened to me, or is that what that is? And you'll find that there's something in your life, and you'll find that it's actually the Holy Spirit that's been talking to you, or the Holy Spirit's that been showing you something. And sometimes we just think it's a natural thing, but in actual fact, it's a supernatural thing. And one of the things that happens with me sometimes, and I know Aubrey operates the same way, is you can be praying for somebody and the Holy Spirit will just give you a word. And you speak something to somebody. Sometimes you just think it's yourself. And then you speak something to somebody. And as you speak it to them, they'll go, you're having to read my mind. But it's not. It's the Holy Spirit. Just, you know, revealing something. And that's just the gift of the Spirit. And sometimes you might think that's just a natural thing, but it's actually the Holy Spirit. But look with me in a verse here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And you know, the scripture here says to covet earnestly the best gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit. When we think of the word covet generally has a negative thing, you know, a negative concept, if you like. But God here told us that we're supposed to covet the gifts of the Spirit. And not alone did he say we're supposed to covet them, he says you're supposed to covet earnestly. So, I mean, when you think of the word covet, it's kind of like the strongest word that you can think about for wanting something or desiring something. But then he compounds that by saying, not alone covet it, but covet it earnestly. Well, here's the question. When is the last time that we coveted earnestly the gifts of God? And that's what he said to us. He told us to covet earnestly the gifts. And you know, we should be flowing in the gifts of God. We should be flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We're not going to get them unless we desire them. And one of the things that we're going to talk about over the next number of weeks is we're going to talk about being hungry for the Holy Spirit and being hungry for the things of God. Not hungry for beef curry and fried rice, but hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. And you know, the scripture says that he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, he will be filled. Because when we hunger for the things of God, God says that he will fill us. Amen. So let's turn to a word tonight, and we'll just begin. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last few weeks. And one of the reasons why we've done that is because a lot of times people don't understand the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we talked about the Holy Spirit is one of the really most neglected members of the Godhead. And there are three members of the Godhead. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are all equally God. One of them is not less than the other. They're all equally God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we talked about a number of weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit's ministry. And we talked about that the Holy Spirit has been here right from the very start. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And right from the very beginning of creation, the Spirit of God was here. The Bible says he was brooding over the waters. That's what the word, he was upon the face of the deep. In Hebrew, it's actually he was brooding. And it has that whole idea of like a mother hen brooding over her chicks. And right from the very start, the Holy Spirit was here. And then you go to the very end of the Bible, and right at the very end, the Bible says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And so the Spirit is present at the end of the Bible as well. And then we talked about everything in between, all the different things that the Holy Spirit does. And we talked about all these guys in the Old Testament, how they were anointed by God for a specific purpose. And we talked about all these different guys. We talked about Moses, and we talked about Barak, and we talked about Samson, and we talked about these different guys, Saul and Samuel, how the Holy Spirit came upon them and anointed them to do a particular purpose. We also talked about David, how David was anointed by God to write the Psalms, which were the Word of God. And we talked about all these men in the Old Testament that the Bible says the Spirit of God came on them and anointed them to write the Word of God. And so we see that the Spirit of God has been very, very active in the world and in the life of believers. But I want to talk for a few minutes tonight about the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. And it's vitally important that we understand this. The Holy Spirit was moving and working in the life of Jesus, because it's always God working, in a sense, in conjunction with himself, or working in conjunction with Jesus. And I want to show you some things here tonight. Look with me first in Matthew chapter 3. Let me ask you a question, just a general question in passing. How many of you here understand the Holy Spirit, or understand the things of the Spirit? How many of you here have a hunger for the things of the Spirit? How many of you understand that we're supposed to be, this is the generation, if you like, or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit? And we talked about in the Old Testament, it was primarily about God the Father. Then in the New Testament, in the time of Jesus, it was primarily about Jesus. But the scripture says that Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven. And when I go back to heaven, he says, I'm going to send you another comforter who will be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead that's on the planet right now. The Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead that's in the church. And you know, the Bible even says of us, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, he says, do you not even know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And so the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of each and every one of us. And we'll maybe talk about that next week. But look with me here in Matthew chapter 3. We talked last week about how the Holy Spirit moved in the Old Testament. And we talked about there was nobody in the Old Testament that was full of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit came on them periodically, came on them for a purpose and then left, came upon them for a purpose and then left, came upon them for a purpose and then left. And we talked about several instances of that in the Old Testament. And we talked about Jesus said that in our generation that the Holy Spirit was going to come, and Jesus said he wouldn't just be on us, but he would be in us, and that he would remain with us forever. But look here, John announces the coming of the Messiah, or Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And they were all going out to John in the wilderness to be baptized. But he says here, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And John was baptizing people in water, and they were all coming out to see John in the wilderness. But John said, there's someone coming who's greater than I. And he was speaking of the Messiah. He was speaking of Jesus. And John said, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. But he says, when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. And so we see the ministry of Jesus was that Jesus was the one who was going to baptize in the Holy Spirit. John was here speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he said that Jesus was coming and he was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. But you know, when in order for Jesus to baptize with the Holy Spirit, how many of you know Jesus needed to have the Holy Spirit? He needed to have the Holy Spirit himself. You know, Jesus lived for 30 years I know he spent some time down in Egypt, but he lived around the region of Galilee. But up until he was 30 years of age, we really read nothing much about him, nothing spectacular. We don't read that he'd done any miracles. We don't read where he ever taught in the synagogue or anything like that. And really, up until he was age 30, Jesus lived an ordinary life. Just lived an ordinary life. But one day, Jesus stepped out of obscurity, if you like, down in Galilee, and he went up to the River Jordan where John was baptizing, and he went down to John, and he says to John, I want you to baptize me. And John refused, because John knew who he was. John knew he was the Messiah. And John says, you want me to baptize you? You need to be baptizing me. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so for now, to fulfill all righteousness. And then John allowed him. But Jesus stepped out of obscurity and came down to John in the Jordan looking for baptism. And let's look at it here in Luke chapter 3. Look with me in Luke chapter 3. And look with me in Read here from verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And the scripture here says that when Jesus was baptized, it says that the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And what that actually tells us was that up until now, the Holy Spirit wasn't on Jesus. Because this was the point in Jesus' life, in Jesus' ministry, where the Holy Spirit came on him. And when the Holy Spirit came on him, the Holy Spirit anointed him for ministry. Keep your finger in Luke here, but look with me just in John for a moment. Look what John says about this in John chapter 1. Just keep your finger in Luke because we're going back there. John chapter 1. And look with me here in verse 31. John says, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And John here bare record, and he said, I saw the heavens open, I saw the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. And he says that the voice, in a sense, spoke to me and said, the one that you see the Spirit coming on like this is the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. But before he could become the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, he needed to be filled with the Spirit himself. Now look back with me in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Here in Luke chapter 3, we saw where Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then we heard that voice from the excellent glory saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But look what it says here in chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So Jesus returned from Jordan, which was where he was baptized. He says he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The word that's translated led is actually the word driven. Or the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And that's going to become vitally important. But Jesus, after his baptism in Jordan, the Bible says that he went out into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. Now look down with me here in verse 14. In verse 14 it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. It says that Jesus went out into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. But it says that Jesus came back from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went up full of the Spirit, but he came back in the power of the Spirit. And those two are completely different. Because sometimes people get filled with the Spirit and they speak in tongues, but they're not full of the power of the Spirit. They're full of the Spirit, but they're not in the power of the Spirit. What was it that happened with Jesus during that time? Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And during those 40 days, he was tempted by a couple of different things. He was tempted by the world, he was tempted by the flesh, and he was tempted by the devil. And when Jesus overcame those things in his life, he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, something we need to understand, we think that we can just get the Holy Spirit and we can live any old way we like and that we'll walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't work that way. But Jesus was filled with the Spirit. But when Jesus overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil, it says he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, we need to have this mentality. If we want to be used of God, if we want to do things for God, then we have to put off the works of the flesh. Can't keep doing the things of the flesh. Can't keep going to the places that we were going to and expect God to flow through us, because it's just not going to happen. And Jesus went out into the wilderness full of the Spirit. And yes, he was full of the Spirit, but the Bible says he came back in the power of the Spirit. And you know, the funny thing about it was, up until this time, Jesus wasn't that well known. People really didn't know who he was because he hadn't been doing anything spectacular. But I want to show you, and I'm going to show you in a moment what happened to him when he came back in the power of the Spirit. Because when he came back in the power of the Spirit, the power began to manifest itself with signs and wonders and miracles. And as soon as that happened, people began to take notice. But you know what the key was? The key was, firstly, he was baptized in the Spirit. And the second thing was he was walking in the power of the Spirit. Do you understand? Let me explain this to you, because you know, some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. How many of you know people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you look at their lifestyle, and you couldn't tell from their lifestyle that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? And that's because they haven't overcome. And let me just say this, when I'm pointing out there, you know the old saying goes, when you point one finger that way, there's four pointing back this way. Because we're all guilty of it to an extent. Because if we overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil the way we were supposed to, we would see more of the evidence of the Holy Spirit. We would see more signs and wonders and more miracles in our life. More gifts, if you like, in our life. And so we need to think about those things. We need to think about the way we live our lives and the things that we do. Are we doing things that are pleasing to God? Let me just say this to you as well, because I believe in the grace of God. I absolutely do. I believe in the grace of God, and I believe there's grace to cover us from all sin. But I don't believe in cheap grace. I don't believe that we can just willy-nilly run out and sin and say, because there's grace for that. That's just cheap grace. And you're just cheapening the grace of God, and I don't believe that's the case. I believe in the grace of God, but I believe God requires something of us as well, and he wants us to so change our lives so that the power of God will flow through us. And so Jesus came back here in verse 14. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And it says that when after he returned in the power of the Spirit, then his fame went out. You know, he wasn't famous before that. But when he came back in the power of the Spirit, then his fame spread abroad. Look down with me here in verse 18. Verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And you know, it's interesting here because Jesus came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. When he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit, he went into the synagogue. He found the place where it was written and he stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And then he went on to say, "This day." Not last week, last month, or 30 years ago. He says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Because he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit and he began his ministry. This passage of scripture here was talking about the Messiah. And Jesus Christ was identifying himself as the Messiah. But I want you to notice that everything he did from that day on, he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you quite a number of scriptures that deal with that. Every time Jesus done something, the scripture specifically says he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me just address something here. Is there anybody here, don't put your hand up because we might have to pray for you. Is there anybody here greater than Jesus? Is there anybody here greater than Jesus? Somebody, anybody. Is there anybody here greater than Jesus? Well, listen, if Jesus needed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, if he needed the power of the Holy Spirit, what makes us think we don't need it? What makes us think we don't need it? Are we greater than Jesus? Are we better than Jesus? And if Jesus needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, guess what? We need the Holy Spirit. And that was the very reason why Jesus said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter, even the Holy Ghost, who will be with you." And then he says, "And he will be in you, and he will abide in you forever." And if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, guess what? We need the Holy Ghost. We need it. And we need to be hungry for it. We need to ask God for it. Believe God for it. Be hungry for it. Be hungry for the things of God. You know, Luke placed this story here right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry to show that Jesus was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies as the Messiah, the anointed one. But you know, when Jesus did it, he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now look with me in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. Just as you're turning there, I forgot to read a verse here, but just as you're turning there, I want to read on from the passage we were reading. He said, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." It says, "They all bear him witness and wondered at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself." And you know what happened here was these people were all amazed at Jesus. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Or basically what they were saying was, "We knew this guy for 30 years and there was nothing special about him. What's changed?" And what was changed was he had received the Holy Spirit. He was now walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, these people knew there was a change. They knew there was something different. In Matthew chapter 4 here, in verse 23, and we've used this verse quite a lot recently, it says, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." You know that it was only after Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit, only after Jesus walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, it was only after that that the scripture says that he went about all Galilee, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Do you know what enabled him to do that? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. How come Jesus hadn't done that for 30 years prior to this? Because he didn't have the Holy Spirit the same way he did now. He hadn't been filled with the Spirit. He hadn't been walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled him to do these signs and wonders and miracles that now he was doing. I'll just read for you. I don't need to turn there. But Mark's Gospel in Mark chapter 1 verse 27. It says, "They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this thing? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And you see, these people knew Jesus. And they were all amazed now, and they said, "What new doctrine is this?" But it wasn't a new doctrine. You know what it was? It was a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a new doctrine. It was a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a new doctrine. It was Jesus was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And because he was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, his life was so radically changed that everybody seen it. Anybody here could do with some of that? Having our lives so radically changed that everybody around you will recognize it. Well, you know what it takes for that? It takes the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it takes walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm making a distinction between the two, because as I said, it's very easy to come to the front and have someone lay hands on you and walk away speaking in tongues, but it's what you do tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month. Because you see, you can go and get the baptism in the Holy Spirit and you can be speaking in tongues and you can walk straight out the door and go into the pub and get drunk. You understand? Because that's what happens. Or you can do that and you can go back out and smoke your joint or whatever it is that you're doing. And you see, it's not enough that somebody comes and just gets hands laid on them and says, "That's me, I'm done." No, that's just the beginning. Now we need to walk a lifestyle in keeping with that. You understand? And we need to change some things. I'd love to preach on that now for a while. Now that I'm on the subject. And it's amazing because I've said this to you here before. See, from the day I got saved, I made a decision what I wanted to do in life. And I said right from day one that I wanted to be a preacher. I was preaching a week after I got saved. And I said from day one I wanted to be a preacher. And you know what I did? I changed my whole life around. I got my cousin in, he was a cabinet maker, and I got him in and I got him to wall my whole bedroom with shelves and a big desk, and I put books on it, and every morning at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, depending on what I was doing, I would get up every morning and I would study and pray and read, and I would read for 5 or 6 hours a day. Because I decided what I wanted out of my Christian life and I went for it. I remember one day I went up to Coleraine. I was living in Kilkenny, and we went up to Coleraine. We took youth up on a bus, and we got to Coleraine, and there was four people, two men and two women, standing on the side of the street, and they had these hymn books, and they were singing, and nobody was paying them a blind bit of notice. Not one person. You know the way it goes. Nobody paid them any notice. Four of them were singing. As soon as I got off the bus and I seen them, and I ran over, and I was standing in front of them. I was only young at the time. I hadn't been saved a couple of years. And I was stood in front of them, and I was singing along with them. And one of the guys who was leading it winked at me and goes, and so I went over and I got a hymn book off him, and I stood with them, and I was singing away. And the guy who was over the youth, the youth leader, when we were finished, he came over to me. He said, "Who are they?" I said, "I don't know." And he says, "What are you doing singing with them?" I said, "They're my people. They're the people of God, so they're my people." And it didn't matter whether I knew them or not. And you know, I had changed my mind so much that I knew what I wanted, and I just went after it. Gave up drinking and gave up smoking whatever I was smoking, and gave up all that stuff. Just gave it all up. Do you understand? And that's what we have to do. If we want to be used of God, want to go on with God, then we need to start making decisions and start saying, "Well, I need to get rid of this, I need to get rid of that, I need to get rid of this." Things that will hinder us. Talks about over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, I believe it is. It talks about laying aside every sin and every weight that entangles us. We need to lay aside the sins. We need to lay aside the weights. The difference between a sin and a weight is a sin is something that's sinful, but a weight is just something that drags you back. Not necessarily sinful, but it just drags you back. We need to get rid of the sins and the weights that are in our life. But anyway, let's go back to this here. Get off my hobby horse. But it says here that they were all amazed, and they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine? For with power or with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." But Jesus was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look with me here in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Look with me here in let's read from verse 25. Jesus here had just cast out a devil. And when he cast the devil out, the scribes and Pharisees said that he was casting out a devil by the devil. But look at what Jesus said here. Verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." And notice here he said that he cast out devils by the Spirit of God. He cast out devils by the Spirit of God. And you see, Jesus hadn't been healing the sick. He hadn't been casting out devils until the day where he became filled with the Holy Spirit and began to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as soon as he did, he began to walk in authority. But it, Scripture says that he done it by the Spirit of God. And you know, if Jesus done it by the Spirit of God, guess who we need to do it by? You see, if we haven't got the Spirit of God, let me just say this. If we haven't got the Spirit of God, then what we're doing is we're using our words, we're using our hands, and we're using our power or lack thereof, because none of us have any power. But when we do it by the Spirit of God, we're using God's word, we're still using our hand, but it's this power of God flowing through us that does the work. And Jesus here, the Bible says that he cast out devils by the Spirit of God. He healed the sick by the Spirit of God. And so the Gospels here record the baptism of Jesus, because this is where his earthly ministry began after his baptism. But let's look in the book of Acts here. Look with me in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We talked about, as we said, we talked about the Holy Spirit was involved in creation, was involved in giving us the Word. We talked about in the Old Testament how the Holy Spirit came on people for a purpose. But with Jesus, it came on Jesus and empowered him. It came on Jesus and empowered him. Look in Acts chapter 10 here and verse 37. It says, "That word I say, you know, which was published through all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." And what he's talking about here is that the word or the fame of Jesus went out throughout all Galilee. But he says here, the word which we know was published through all Judea and began in Galilee after Jesus was baptized, or after the baptism that John preached. And so the power of the word only went out after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? The power only went out after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Before that, Jesus Christ didn't do any signs or any wonders or any miracles. Look, let's read the next verse in verse 38. Now watch what he says. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." When did he anoint Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power? After his baptism in the Jordan. That's when Jesus Christ was anointed or with the Holy Spirit. And then when he went into the wilderness, he overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil, and he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it began after his baptism in Jordan. And for in order for us to walk in the power and the demonstration of the things of God, we need the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed it, then why would we think we don't need it? And there's so many people today, and they think, Holy Ghost, don't need it. Gifts of the Spirit, don't need it. No, well, listen, if Jesus needed it, unless, of course, you're greater than Jesus. If you're greater than Jesus, maybe you don't need it. But for the rest of us mere mortals, we need it. Amen. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And you know, Jesus' miracles and healings began here, and this was when he began his earthly ministry. Up until then, he hadn't preached a sermon, he hadn't performed any signs and wonders, no miracles, no healings, and no casting out devils, until after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was 30 years in preparation for 3 years of ministry, but on that day, something important happened. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Some people ask the question, why do I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, we've talked about it. Well, because if Jesus did, then we do. If Jesus needed it, we need it. People think sometimes then they get upset with you and they think, oh, you're saying then I'm not saved because I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Absolutely not. As soon as you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, as you make him your Lord and Savior, you're saved. But it's only the baptism in the Holy Spirit that will anoint you for service. You know, before Jesus was baptized, was he the Son of God? His baptism didn't change that. He was still the Son of God. He was the Son of God before he was baptized. He was the Son of God after he was baptized. But before he was baptized, he didn't walk in power. After he was baptized, he did walk in power. Do you understand? And so it's not about whether you're a child of God or not. What it's about is, are you anointed for service? Are you anointed for the things of God? If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're still as much a child of God as anyone. That doesn't change. Was Jesus anointed for ministry before the Holy Spirit came on him? No, because he didn't do any ministry during those 30 years. Well, are we anointed for ministry before the Holy Ghost comes on us then? No. Need the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Jesus wasn't just anointed with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the word power there is the word dunamis in Greek. And the word dunamis is where we get our English word dynamite from. And it means explosive power. And when you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, there's power that goes along with it. That was not our power, it's his power. But there's power that goes along with it. And I want to talk about that word power for a moment. Look back with me in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Just 142 more scriptures and we're finished. In Acts chapter 1, it says here in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And Jesus gave them a command here. And the command was that they should go to Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was promised. And here's something that people talk about. In the Gospels, it talks about Jesus said, "Tarry until the Holy Spirit comes." And people talk about having tarrying meetings where they're waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now, these guys, when they waited, the Holy Spirit wasn't being poured out till the day of Pentecost, and they had to wait till the day of Pentecost because there was nothing they could do to change that. And we don't have to wait in that manner because the Holy Spirit was poured out 2,000 years ago. But we still have to wait on God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you have to wait in the sense of we need to be hungry for the things of God. We need to put ourselves in a place where we can receive from God, because if we're not receiving from God, we're not going to get it. And so we need to change whatever needs to change. We need to be hungry for the things of God. But here's what, let me just share this with you. The Holy Spirit, we said, when he comes upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he anoints us for service. And when he says here, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, what he was saying was, don't leave without it. Wait till you get it. Don't leave without it. Because too often we try to step out in our own strength and we try and do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. But what God is saying is, no, don't leave without it. Don't leave without the power. Stay till you get the power. Keep believing till you get the power. And you know, it's available to each and every one of us. And God's word to us is, don't leave without it. Don't try and do it in your own strength. Just a classic example, and I know it's slightly different idea, but you take Moses. Moses had a word from God, and the word was that he was going to deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. And he went out one night and murdered somebody, and spent the next 40 years in the wilderness. So he done it in his own strength. He rescued one person, sort of rescued them, and then spent 40 years in the wilderness. But you know, when the power of God came on him, he delivered 2.5 million people in one night. And so the whole idea is don't go without the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is with you, when you're anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when you're going to see the miracles, the signs, the wonders. That's when you're going to see the anointing. That's when the power is going to come. And so we need to go with the Holy Spirit and not go without the Holy Spirit. But look what he says here in verse 8 then. It says, "But you shall receive power." And that word power, again, is the same word dunamis, which is where we said we get the English word dynamite. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now Jesus here was speaking to, the Bible says, 500 people, above 500 people. And he says to these 500 people, and the reason why there was 500 of them is because people get this idea he was only talking to the 11 disciples. No, he wasn't. The scripture says there was above 500 of them. And he said to them, go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of my Father. And then he says, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You will receive power, the word dunamis, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The interesting thing about that was the scripture says he appeared to above 500 people. Only 120 of them showed up in the upper room. Or at least there was only 120 of them on the morning of Pentecost. Maybe some of them couldn't wait. And that means that not everybody gets it because not everybody shows up for it. Jesus told above 500 of them to go. Only 120 showed up. But you know, the whole 120 that were there were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they all moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it says here, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Notice here, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the same power that Jesus received, because it's not our power, neither was it his power, it was the Holy Ghost's power. Do you understand? It's the same word, dunamis. The same word that was used in Acts 10:38, where the power came on Jesus, was the exact same word that God says, you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I just want to show you a few verses here that deal with the power. Look with me in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 in verse 25. It says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all she had, it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and says, who touched my clothes? In verse 30, it says, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Has anybody got a different word for that word virtue? Power. It's the word dunamis. It's the word dunamis. Jesus knew in himself that power had gone out of him. Well, where did the power come from? The Holy Spirit. That's what we've been talking about. The power came from the Holy Spirit. It says how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it's amazing how sometimes when you lay hands on people, where people are able to feel something. People feel something. And they'll say, when you touched me, I felt, and they'll say what they felt. Do you know why that is? Because power goes out from you. The amount of times that it's happened where people have come up and have said, as soon as you touched me, I felt. That was the power. And that's what happened here with Jesus. It says power went out from him. Look with me in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Look with me here in verse 17. It says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and a company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Has anyone got a different word for that word, virtue? It's the same word, power. It's the same word, dunamis. And the scripture here says, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went power out of him, and he healed them all. You know what that means? It means that somebody had heard a testimony of this woman with the issue of blood who said, I touched Jesus, and when I touched him, power went out from him. So they all said, well, we're going to touch him as well. But it says everyone who touched him, that power went out from him. Well, where did the power come from? Came from the Holy Spirit. Came from the Holy Spirit. Back at the page in Luke chapter 5. Look with me here in verse 17. It says, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. The dunamis power of God. Where did the dunamis power of God come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. And the whole thing we have to understand, you can go through all the different verses, and the thing that we need to understand was Jesus, for 30 years, never operated, never preached a sermon, never laid hands on the sick, never performed a miracle, never cast out a devil. But one day he went down to John in the Jordan River, and when he was baptized, the Bible says the heavens were opened, the Spirit of God descended on him, and from that day, it says power went out from him. Every time he laid hands on somebody, power went out from him. And then he goes through his whole ministry. He goes through the crucifixion. He goes through his resurrection. He spends 40 days with his disciples. And just as he was about to go back to heaven, he said to his disciples, I'm going up, but just the same way as I told you, the Holy Spirit's going to come down. And you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And what he was saying to them is, see all the times I operated in power. See all the times I laid hands on the sick and power went out from me. The same thing will happen when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the reality of it is, we need to understand something here. If Jesus Christ need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, then how can we do any less? And it's amazing how there are whole churches built around where they tell you, oh, you don't need the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus said you do. Jesus said you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, the power of God will be present in you. But we need to make some changes in our life. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, we need to begin to make changes. You know, the scripture says that our bodies become temples of the Holy Spirit. That means we need to start changing some things. That there's some things, places that we can't go anymore because we can't bring Jesus into them. Can't bring Jesus into situations like that we get ourselves involved in. Look with me in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Just two more verses and we'll finish with these. Luke chapter 13, sorry, chapter 11, apologies. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Let's go back and read from verse 10. Now watch this verse here. It says, for everyone that asks, receives. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now he goes on to explain it. He said, everyone that asks received. Then he says, if a son asks for bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He says, everyone that asks receives. Everyone who asks receives. And then he makes a comparison. And he says, you know, if your son asked you for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? He says, of course you wouldn't. But then he goes on to say, how much more will my heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more will my heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? But you see, we need to understand something in our asking. It's not just a casual ask, but it's a heart searching for the things of God. He who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, he will be filled. You need to be hungry for it. You need to have a desire for it. You need to have a passion for it. But God says if you ask, you will receive. And then in Luke chapter 24, and we'll finish with this verse here. Luke chapter 24. And look with me here in verse 49. And Jesus said here, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He says, behold, I send you the promise of my Father. Does anybody know what the promise of the Father was? The Holy Spirit. He says, behold, I send you the promise of my Father. Behold, I send you the Holy Spirit upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he told them that they had to go and wait for it. Now, as we said, for them it was different because he wasn't going to be given until the day of Pentecost. But he told them to wait for it. And we need to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't leave without it. And you know, sometimes we come to church and we're looking at the watch and we can't wait to get out. But you know, we had a meeting, I don't know how long ago, about a year ago, up in the old building. It was more than that, about a year and a half ago. We're up in the old building, and it was one Wednesday night. And about 10 o'clock, a whole lot of people left. And as soon as they left, the power of God came down. We were there till nearly 12 o'clock. And just the power and the presence of God, people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. People spoke in tongues. And it was just phenomenal. Because we want God to do it on our time scale. But there's times we just need to wait on God. There's times we just need to say, well, you know what, God, we're not leaving until you come, until you do something. Sometimes we just need to wait on God. And that's what we're working our way towards. One of these days, we're just planning at the minute, we're just going to have a Holy Ghost night. And we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And we're going to stay here as long as God stays. And I'm going to have it on a different night. I'm going to have it probably on a Tuesday night. And that means that only the people who want to come will come. Only the people who are hungry will come. And you know what? We'll just stay here all night if it takes all night. We'll just wait on God. And you know what? We'll come out of there the next morning and we'll be completely changed, transformed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So watch out for that. Let's stand to our feet and we'll close tonight. So we talked about here tonight, as we said, the Holy Ghost in creation. We talked about the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. And tonight I just wanted to show you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, how he worked in the life of Jesus. And you know, Jesus couldn't do the things that he did without the power of the Holy Spirit. Every time we've seen, he says he cast out devils by the Holy Spirit. It says that when he laid hands on people, that the power went out from him. The power came from the Holy Spirit. But if Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it? And we need to be believing God for it. And as we said, we're going to have that night where there's going to be a Holy Ghost night. We're just going to believe for the power of God. But I want you, for those of you who are planning to be there, start getting yourself ready. Start praying towards it. Start asking God. And say, Father, we need a fresh move. We need a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And then when the time comes, come hungry. That's like the men's breakfast. Come hungry. But when we come for that Holy Ghost night, come hungry. Come expecting God to move. And don't come with an agenda saying, well, you know, I'm going to give it an hour. If he doesn't show up in an hour, I'm away. If you're going to have that idea, don't come. But you know, come hungry. Come expecting. Come believing. Amen.